You have a pain in the arm. First thing you want to do is find out why, and then you want to get rid of it. You try to trace your movements. When did I bunk it? Who hit me? Did I do it while I slept? Is it a recurrence of something back in the years that has gone by? Was it something I ate? Or am I getting something and this is a sign of it? All these things run through your mind. Now let's see, first of all, that whether it's your arm or your business, it makes no difference. The same principle will apply. I'm merely using the arm to start with. Now that arm is your mental concept to begin with. The arm itself, before it even hurts, is your mental concept. God didn't make that arm. God made nothing physical. God isn't protecting that arm, and that's why it hurts. It's your mental concept. Just as the world is outside, seemingly, but is actually in your mind, so is your arm. Your arm is within your mind. Whether it's a happy arm or an unhappy arm, it's within your mind. If it's broken, it's broken in your mind. If it's whole, it's whole in your mind. Let's forget the arm then, and let's go to that mind. In your mind is your arm. And therefore, in your mind is the pain in that arm. In your mind is the swelling in that arm. Now let's rest there a minute. Whose mind are you in? The world mind or the divine mind? You're in the world mind. You're in a mind beholding iniquity, a mind in which there is darkness, a mind which beholds that which is not created of the Father. What is your problem, the arm, or that you're in the wrong mind? And so, have ye that Christ mind, and notice the difference. And that is another way we're going to come into the realization of Christ.
We'll do it now so you see what I mean. The mind that you are in normally as a human being is capable of beholding a healthy or an unhealthy arm. That is the wrong mind because it is not the divine mind. In him is no darkness. The divine mind is too pure to behold darkness. Therefore, you're in a mind that is not a mind at all, and that is your real problem. But you are the Christ, and the mind of the Christ is the Christ mind. It must be present. It is present where Christ is. Christ is in the kingdom of God where you are. All you've got to do now is be still in that mind and rest in the awareness that the mind of the Father, which is the Christ mind, is right here now. Forget the physical completely. Rest in the Christ mind, in the mind of God. It is present. Just acknowledge it and rest in it. And as you rest in it knowingly, you will discover that it is invisibly manifesting that which you have distorted in your mind to be an arm that hurts. But it invisibly is manifesting a perfect, original image within its own mind from which you are making a distorted image called a painful arm. Release your mind into the Christ mind and rest, knowing its perfect image is present in the Christ mind here and now. And I haven't the slightest doubt that whether or not you experience something within 5 minutes or 10 or not, that ultimately you will discover this simple exercise is one of the most beneficial you can know. Release the body and rest in the mind which is taking the divine self into divine image, and just rest there knowing it is perfect out of your sense of mind, and you will find that the divine mind will quicken you, lighten the weight of your so-called form, lift you up, and release you from the concept of body, of arm, of pain, of unhealthiness. In fact, the divine mind is the only mind present, and every time you are aware of this and rest in it with just that in mind, divine mind alone is here. It is manifesting invisibly its perfection. It is sustaining it. It is omnipotent. The divine mind is omnipotent now. I can rest in it with confidence. I believe in the divine mind. I have faith. I need no knowledge of anything other than the divine mind's presence, and know that it is out picturing its own perfection where I stand. There is a tremendous release as you do this, and the quickening lasts for a long, long time. You never have to heal a body, ever. In fact, you cannot. You simply forget that body completely and rest in the one mind, and you'll find it's taking care of the divine body, and there is no other. From this quietness, the divine body begins to become more of your expression than the undivine mortal body, until you're released. And it's nice to walk away from this light-hearted and light-footed, because the moment you've let go of your mind and rested in the real divine mind that is present, you lose all of this friction of the world. Just don't get hung up with bodies, with arms and legs and backs. Remember, the divine body is the only body present, and you can only know it, experience it through the divine mind, which is not your human mind. Rest in the divine mind knowingly, confidently. It's quite a luxury. And it can be a total release. See, there's no you to do any thinking. There's no you to have any responsibility about the body at this point. Your Father knoweth. It wouldn't matter if you were talking about your business, about your plans, or about anything in your life. Forget it. Get into the divine mind and rest, and watch what you were conjuring up in your mind is but a limited concept about the real thing which is ever present in divine mind. And as you rest in divine mind, you'll find your peace. You'll find you never have to deal with any physical thing in the entire world. Let the divine mind reveal the spiritual perfection that is present where you have interpreted something into a physical thing. This, too, is washing the mystical body. It is a releasing of concept. It is a walking out on the water of spirit. You can apply this to any circumstance in your life. Release yourself to the divine mind which is ever present. Know that you are in the divine mind, it is your mind now. It is functioning. It is manifesting. It is maintaining. It is perfect. And beside its manifestation, there is no other. It'll take you right out of duality. And that manifestation is the Holy Ghost, which seeps through into your basin, into your consciousness. It is holy thought instead of mortal thought. And it manifests itself in the purity of its own substance. It immaculately conceives itself into expression. It does this completely, perfectly, in His name. As health or business or any relationship you are in need of, if it is within the divine will. Now this is an exercise to practice even when you have nothing wrong. You rest back in the divine mind, releasing yours, and you are fed. Whoever does this will find that the law of Christ, which is perfection in all things, accompanies you wherever you go, whenever you go. It becomes an integral part of your daily experience. The grace of Christ is ever present in the divine mind. If you do not set up a competing mind, a second mind, a mind that thinks it knows, this grace will express as your experience. You're out of a physical world. You're in a spiritual universe. You're out of a human mind. In a sense, you have washed your own feet. You have turned to the divine mind of God within yourself, the Christ mind, and you are being transformed into that which is the divine image and likeness, into that mystical body which cannot die, and you are one of those who are chosen and faithful, who cannot die until the Son of Man enters His kingdom, until Christ consciousness is yours. And then you discover that the second death, the death of form, has no real meaning for you. It cannot touch you. You have already died to the form that allegedly dies. You are the mystical body. And your life is eternal life. Pause 5 or 6 minutes. Be back. Thank you. We'll just pass over the betrayal for a moment. We can certainly see that Judas is not going the way that the teaching is going. Judas is thinking in terms of Judas. If there's any love of God, he's concealed it very well. Peter loves God but doesn't know God. But Peter is going to learn to find the mystical self. Judas is not interested. He's going to cling to the idea of a kingdom right here on earth. And he's going to force the master to defend himself and to show his power, as he hopes. So you can find a bit of yourself in all of that, the awareness that through Christ you find the way, and through the rejection of Christ as self, you lose the way. But we'll take up Judas in more fullness later. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for I am. Abide in me. Oops. We almost got into chapter 16. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. When you sit back and dwell upon this, what Christ was doing outwardly was something that had long been done. These disciples had had their feet washed and their ears scrubbed many times by divine love. He was merely showing them now that it was divine love which had chosen them, divine love which was teaching them, divine love which was guiding them out of the darkness of mortality, out of the darkness of reincarnating lifespans, into life eternal. Oh, they had been washed before, but now it was being brought to their attention. Even then they could not understand that they had been washed by Christ's love since the moment he picked them out. Follow me. Christ's love had already seen them as they were. And when we are told, Do unto your brethren as I do unto you, wash their feet, this isn't something that you can say, Oh, I understand that. That's very nice. It's very sweet. It means go and do it. And as I said before, I'm grateful that many among you are doing it. Not just seeing a nice neighbor, a nice fellow, a good person, a good old scout, but knowing that you're looking through the physical form to the mystical body and accepting the invisible Christ there. If we're not doing this at this particular point, we're not opening ourselves, we're not washing the mystical body. We're not transforming. And you can't make any distinctions. Friend or foe, all come under the same washing of feet. And you can't take a basin and do it. You have to wash them with Christ recognition. And as you do it, it is the Christ in you which is washing the Christ of you in your neighbor, in your child, in your wife, in your husband, in your parent. Everywhere you wash the feet, you only accept the invisible Christ which stands before you appearing as form. You wash the feet of a complete nation. You wash the feet of the inhabitants of this earth. What they do, what they say to you makes no difference. What you know to be the truth is where you live. In one little simple sentence, he tells us how to open ourselves to the Christ. You ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now that would stop all domestic rifts, wouldn't it? Just imagine an argument at home. Husband and wife. He says this and she says that, and then one says, One moment. John chapter 13, verse 14. You're just stepping out of yourself when you're not recognizing the Christ of me. And I, when I am not recognizing the Christ of you, I'm stepping out of myself. And that third party that we both sing so lowly of, oh dear, we've got to do something right there now. There is no third party there. Again, the invisible Christ is all that's there. Until it becomes a habit to crucify your mental concept of every person on the earth and lift them, resurrect them in your consciousness to see them as they are, lifting the Son of I everywhere. You may be assured that unless you are developing this habit of consciousness, you are living in a second self, which is not your divine self. These examples are not given to make pleasant reading. And you can't go around the world saying, I believe in Jesus, and fulfill this. You can't hit a man on the head because he doesn't believe in Jesus as you do. You can't criticize him because he doesn't believe in Jesus as you do. You can't say those who aren't in my group aren't worthy of the kingdom. No, that's Christ there. At least to these, my brethren. And so we become very Christ-conscious in this physical world before we receive Christ-consciousness. The physical you in the outer can be likened unto Jesus. The physical sense of you must get on its hands and knees and pour water into a basin and wash the feet of Christ in every individual on the earth. By recognition, this is the invisible Christ. If you are unwilling to do this, then you do not believe on the Christ as the universal self. And if you do not believe on the Christ as the universal self, you do not believe on the Christ as yourself, because yourself is the universal Christ. We have to become servants to the Christ. And that means we have to impersonalize every form we see. For the form is not the Christ. And do you know when Joel teaches us to impersonalize God that he has a meaning we haven't even discussed? Who are you looking at? You're looking at God, aren't you? Where can you look where God isn't? But you're seeing a person. When you impersonalize and take that person away, who is there? God. When you impersonalize God, you see that God is not that person. But God is there. And therefore, when you know the person isn't there, but God is, you have impersonalized God. You have washed the feet of the form before you, and it has taken you right through to the realization that here is the Christ, which is the living Spirit of God. Impersonalizing God is washing the feet of every form. And when you have done this sufficiently to feel your own essence, which does not live in the concept called form, you are then ready to begin to experience the infinity of being. Form doesn't. Form can never experience the infinity of being. But only when you have attained some consciousness of the essence of yourself, the Christ self, do you begin to come into the infinity of Christ. And so after you've washed the mystical body a number of times, by accepting the Christ, by luxuriating in the knowledge that I am in the divine mind now, the divine mind is my mind, you will come to the omnipresence of yourself, not as words, but as experience. Where is there a place where you are not? The form is only where it appears. But the Christ is everywhere. As the Christ, you will discover that the infinity of your being, the omnipresence of yourself, is a reality that you experience. You'll see why the expression of Christ in you is the Holy Ghost coming into manifestation as the things of God where you appear in form. It will be the infinite Christ of you, which is the mind and body of you, expressing itself, that comes into visible experience where the form appears to be. We can never experience grace unless we are in Christ. Now, we have all known the parent who feels that he or she or they have to guide the child. We accept that. That's the parent's function, to guide the child. But the parent has to learn to accept that the parents are children in God. And the parents must be guided as children are guided. They must be guided by God. And they cannot be guided unless they are in Christ. Unless the parents accept the Christ of the daughter, the son, the grandchildren, they are not accepting the universal Christ. Unless you release everyone to the knowledge that they are the Christ, how can you accept the Christ for yourself? And when you do, when you release all to the Christ, knowing they are the Christ, and accept the Christ as yourself, then you, like a child guided by its parent, you are guided by your parent. The infinite guides the infinite individualization. Each of us being an individualization of the infinite, are actually resting in that oneness which is called, I am sent from the Father. You believe in me, you believe in the truth that the Father sent me. And as we rest in this one, we are children of the light in Christ, receiving of the Father, just as we have been parents in the flesh, teaching and guiding our youngsters, we become the youngsters in spirit receiving of the infinite. And we must begin to yield completely. For our Father knoweth what we in our human sense of life have no way of knowing. For openers, we learn to bless everyone. You bless them with a nod, you bless them with an awareness, you teach them how to bless themselves. You lift them with kindness, which is backed by the awareness that the love of God is present where they are, and you're merely putting a match to it to bring it forth, to kindle the flame, that the essence of God is there. And you do all that you do, not by sitting at the supper with your mouth, but by rising from the supper in deeds. The greatest form of humility is the kind that goes unnoticed. It is even unconscious of its own goodness. It has no idea of reward of any nature. It is simply living in its own true self. You can see here that Christ, in the form of Jesus, never sought anything for itself. Never. There was only love. There was only meekness unto the infinite Spirit. And yet, out of that love and out of that meekness was omnipotence. So that no power could be used against the Christ. Out of your love, out of your humility, and humility takes a very new turn. Humility is the awareness that I am not this person at all. I'm not even in this form. Humility is self-awareness. As you are blessing the world, as you are recognizing the invisible mystical body everywhere, it's really your own body you're recognizing. You're becoming acquainted with yourself in everyone. And I'm hopeful that those of us who are reaching these latter phases of the work have accepted this responsibility to see the mystical body in everyone and to let the Christ mind be your only mind, confidently knowing that whatever it does is always the will of the Father, that it is sent. It can only express divinity. And that it is omnipotent, in spite of any appearance to the contrary, in spite of any commands or demands or impulses, it has total authority. And it disposes of all opposition without the slightest help from a human being. All you need to do is rest in it. And behold, the I, the Christ of you, is ever expressing its omnipotence. Right now, the Christ of you, which walked the earth and washed the feet of Peter, is saying to you, now do likewise. Let the human you wash the feet of the Christ of you here, where you are, forever. Let the human you wash the feet of the Christ in everyone you see. That Christ is the living Christ. Its message is eternal. And its image and likeness of God, which you are, is always invisibly present, awaiting that moment when you have made the supreme human sacrifice of a self that isn't, to find the self that is. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I have a couple of notes here I don't want to forget. One of them is that John the Baptist, if you recall, baptized Jesus at the Jordan. But at the time that he did, he said to Jesus, knowing this was the Christ of God, you have come to be baptized, but you should be baptizing me. You see, and this is a continuation. Right now, right from the earliest part of the ministry, John the Baptist recognized that his form of baptism by water immersion was just a prelude, a symbol of chastening or a purification, but that the Christ baptism, the second baptism, the inner baptism, makes you whole. Why? Because Christ is the wholeness of being. And you may have noticed again in Paul, where he says to his disciples when he sends a letter to them, that ye are now washed, sanctified, justified by the Christ. And he speaks of those who are not in Christ as the unwashed. So we are the washed or the unwashed. We are in Christ or not. And if we are unwashed, we are going to be burdened by this world. If we are washed, we are going to walk in this world, but not of it, because the Christ is never walking in a world. Always where the world appears, the Christ is walking in the kingdom of God, where the earth seems to be. The foot that you have washed is exchanged for the Christ, which does not walk on earth, but in the kingdom of God, which we have, through the glass, called the earth. As children, we cease to be parents. We are the children of the Father. And as the children of the Father, we take our Father's word as the way of life. And that word is, be a servant unto Christ. Listen to Christ. Turn to Christ. Accept the presence of Christ in you and wherever you are and everywhere. Before you go, know Christ is where you're going. When you arrive, know Christ is still where you came from. Become conscious of Christ in you everywhere, until you can accept that as far as the eye can see and beyond is Christ, myself. This is a practice. If you have heard this 2 years ago, today it's different for this reason. We were once supping at the table. Now we are moving into the action of that which we have received in that supping. We are living it out. We are making it flesh, spiritual flesh. The Word is becoming your flesh. Now we've taken, so far, about 6 chapters in Joel's book, and I think we're ready for this 7th chapter. Unconditioned infinity. Let's review quickly what we have done so we know why we're ready. First chapter was pure being. All is the essence of the Father. All is pure spirit. There is no corporeality. Release man. Get thee hence, Satan. Overcoming world mind in both cases, to see that all form, all matter, is a superimposed concept of the world mind, having no cause in God. Pure spirit is the only reality, the only life, the only self. Then we came to no end, so that we couldn't confuse ourselves as being apart from God, so that there was God and me. God and Mary, God and Matilda. But God is the Spirit, which is the Spirit of all, and therefore there's no Spirit and. And that, of course, led us to one life, one self. Wherever I look, I am. Whatever I touch invisibly is myself. Everywhere is you. And you see, until everywhere is you, is your practice, you're going to be in a state of judgment. Judging what isn't there, because all that can be anywhere is you. The infinite spirit of God is you. There's no end any other. And this takes us out of what we thought we were. Resting in oneness, we see that I am that invisible self. That self which is always alive. That self which is never destroyed, never diseased, never in any way in a state of discord. But a false sense of mind tells me there is such a self. And that's why I rest in oneness until I overcome the false sense of mind which creates the sense of a self that isn't the one infinite self. Finally, we come to this chapter, Living the Principle of Impersonalization, which we have completed. And we see that we are impersonalizing all error by recognizing that there is only spirit. There is really no person through which error can function. And that God is not a person, and God is all, therefore person is not what my human sense mind had thought it was. Where person seems to be, Christ is. That is the impersonalization of God. God is not that person, but God is the Christ where that person seems to be. And now, as we practice this, we'll be ready, in a measure, to discuss, to understand, and to practice the awareness of unconditioned infinity. And so, although we probably won't take a microscope to that chapter next week, but we'll casually survey its general content, we're going to continue with John 13. But remember, it's the preparation for the grace, which is really unconditioned infinity in action. When you're not in unconditioned infinity, you're not in the kingdom of God, for they're one and the same. When you're not in Christ, you're not in unconditioned infinity, for that is the nature of Christ. So this week's assignment is, bless all you see. You may think it's important in November to make a choice between McGovern and Nixon. Well, that's a very minor phase of your responsibility. Your real choice is between are you Christ or are you not. That's your first choice. After you've made your choice there, you will bless them both. And you will bless whoever runs on the ticket. You will bless friend and foe. You will bless everyone you see, consciously blessing regardless of the nature of their relationship to you. Always knowing, there I am. Now, everything you do contrary to this is returning to the Peter state of consciousness. You must remember that he did one beautiful thing, Peter. He didn't want just to have his feet washed. He wanted all of them washed. But as soon as the Master said, if you only have the feet washed, that's sufficient, he agreed. His faith was sufficient to let him agree. And you see, Peter becomes the great exponent of faith all the way through. He never really understands, but he always has the faith to do what he's told by the Christ in the outer, because he hadn't yet heard the Christ in the inner. It might have been a marvelous way for him to have the outer Christ, and I'm sure we would all have been happy to walk with the visible Master. But his teaching was to turn us to the inner Christ. Please don't feel embarrassed if in your blessing someone, you don't quite feel that you feel the way you're supposed to feel. And if you have a sense of guilt about it, that will be quite normal, but overcome it. Do your best to overcome it. And the way you can do this is turn not to your personal human blessing of that person, because that's where the guilt's going to lie. If you find you're incapable of it, but let your mind be the mind of Christ. You find the mind of Christ can bless what you humanly have no capacity to do. That's the whole purpose of it. If you're blessing with a human mind, you're wasting your time. The idea here is to awaken your Christ mind by stepping out of the mind which is not the Christ mind. It won't bless. It hates. It resents. That isn't the mind we're going to use in the blessing. You're going to rest in the mind which is the Christ mind, which automatically is the blessing. And that's the point of difference between blessing your neighbor and resting in your Christ self, which is an automatic blessing of your neighbor. We're trying to get outside of the me, outside of the personal sense. To wash the feet is to take care of the whole human selfhood, the corporeal being. Get rid of it. And while you're in this Christ mind, remember it does the miracles of old that it did for the Master Christ Jesus. And then take a look at chapter Unconditioned Infinity, chapter 7, Realization of Oneness. Continuing in chapter 13, probably to the end, or at least to the betrayal. For that Judas is going to turn out to be the fellow who will not bless. That side of us that refuses to bless, to witness Christ everywhere, who has no comprehension. That's the fellow in our human consciousness that we're going to expel. I think that's it today. And thank you again very much.